Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back. I think this is the eighth or ninth episode of From the Lions Cove podcast. I'm sorry, I am so horrible with that. But today we have a very special guest, my man, Yanni Volus. Yanni, welcome to the podcast, my man.
Thank you for having me, Marcelo.
Yeah, so this has been a long time coming. I've known Yanni for a while now, one of my good friends, and he's also a great football player, as we'll see throughout this podcast. Mm-hmm. He has a lot to talk about with his experience at John Carroll University. And, yeah, thank you again for joining on today.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited. Long time coming.
Yeah, so, you know, we've had a lot of holidays. We've had Halloween. Today's election day. What a time to be alive. Hopefully you all went out there and voted today. It's very important. And hopefully you all had a great Halloween. But what do you say, let's get into this podcast?
Let's do this.
All right, so to give my man Yanni a proper intro. So, Yanni is a kicker at John Carroll University. Formerly played at Hoover High School. Yanni attended a bunch of events in high school. He went to the Top Kicker in America event, Chris Saylor kicking event. He went to, I think, two of those. Then he went to the kicking coach and then Stark County kicking competition. So he went to a bunch of those camps, which is awesome. And then to look at some of his college stats, he's a part of the National Honor Society, Honor Roll, Summer Scholar, four-time academic letterman, team captain, first and second team All-Federal League, three-time varsity letterman, honorable mention All-Star County, and just a bunch of awards right there. And then in 2022, he made a 29-yard field goal, went 8-for-8 on PATs, pretty impressive right there. And then he also made a 39-yard field goal and went 6-for-6 versus Marietta. And then in 2023, he made a 24-yard field goal as well as putting three punts inside the 20, one going 61 yards. Pretty impressive right there. And then he made two field goals and all three extra points against Heidelberg in 2023 of last year. And then some other awards, 2022 All-OAC second team, CSC Academic All-District team, 2022 Academic All-OAC, and then First Team All-OAC in 2023. So my man Yanni, he's involved in a lot of good things, and he's a great person, great athlete, as you can see here. So first question is, what initially got you into football, and when did you realize this was something that you wanted to pursue at a higher level?
Yeah, so growing up, right, always played soccer. And then, like, in fifth grade, like, whole buddies asked me, like, okay, like, yeah, I'm like, you can come out for the team. Like, you'll definitely, like, play or whatever. Because I was always kind of, like, bigger growing up.
Yeah.
So I went out for the team and actually broke my elbow, like during, like summer camp. Yeah. So I was like, okay, like, I'll come back one more year. Like, I had unfinished business. I want to get, like a full year. And, like, I actually found myself playing, you know, like, D-line, offensive line, because, like I said, I was a little bit bigger. A little bit of linebacker. And so I just, you know, I kind of fell in love with football, you know, like at that fifth, sixth, seventh grade age. And then I just kept playing. I would play soccer in the winter and spring and then football in the fall because you can't play both in the fall or whatever. And then when it came time for high school, I kind of had to make a decision. So I started kicking in eighth grade because that's like when they started like implementing like field goals and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was pretty decent at that or whatever. And then I basically sat both the coaches down, like going into my freshman year. I was like, hey, like, is there a possibility that I could kick for the football team and play soccer?
Yeah.
And actually the football coach was all for that, but our soccer coach was not really down for that.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, it was kind of, I was honestly shocked by that. So I was like, okay. So I went through basically both, like, fall or what do you call it, like summer camps for football and soccer my freshman year. It was crazy. Like, I would go to football, like, from 8 to 10 and ride my bike down the street to go to soccer practice from, like, 11 to 1.
Wow.
It was nuts. So I went throughout the summer or whatever, and I got put on, like, one of, like, lower JV games or lower JV teams for soccer. So yeah. I was like, okay, like, I mean, whatever. Like, if that's going to happen. I had a starting spot as, like, a lineman and starting kicker and punter on the freshman team. So I was like, I like those guys a little bit better. A lot of my closer friends played soccer, but I just like the team feel more in football.
Yeah.
So, and that's what really drew me to football in the first place. So, yeah, and then I just played freshman football and stuck with it and kicked, played some other positions, and, yeah, here we are now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So throughout your time, did you play any other sports growing up or in high school, like aside from football and soccer?
Yeah. No, just football and soccer. Wow. I played soccer up until I think it was my sophomore year. I just played the club. And then I just realized that, like, I mean, I'm not really going anywhere with this. So it's like, okay. And, like, I can play soccer whenever, you know,
but yeah.
Football, I think the main reason why I decided to play football was, you know, you're not gonna be able to strap on your pads, go out there on like a Friday, Saturday or whatever. You know, play organized football, whereas, like, I can play pick up soccer anytime.
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, can you share a moment from your high school football days at Hoover that you'll never forget?
I think some of, like, my more favorite moments were, like, you know, the practices and the 2 days. Like, those were just awesome. And just honestly, like, every Friday night going out underneath the lights. I mean, there's nothing like it. Like, college football is great and all, but there's nothing better than Friday night lights. But I think one game that sticks out to me was my sophomore year. I was the starting punter on that team. We had won, like, our federal league. It's, like, our league championship or whatever.
Wow.
And we beat it on Jackson's Field, which is, like, our rival. And I know Mayfield has played Jackson in the
past.
So that's always a big game for us. And we went out there and did it on their field. So that was pretty awesome.
Wow. So throughout your time, did you, like, I guess, go up against any, like, D1 talent, any, like, big-time, like, players?
No one, like, crazy. I mean, there was a couple guys that went to, like, some D1s, like, small schools.
Yeah.
But I can't think of, like, one person. I mean, over in McKinley, this is actually me and Jake Phillips were talking about this the other day. This kid's name is Harold Fannin. He's, like, leading the country as, like, the number one tight end, like, in college football right now.
Yeah.
He plays for Bowling Green.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, I played against him. I think he was a year younger than me. Maybe we were in the same grade. So there was him. McKinley's always had some dudes. Perry always had some dudes. And then, yeah, I mean, there's athletes sprinkled out throughout. But,
nice. Yeah. So then Jackson was, like, your main rival, right?
Yes, yeah.
So just, like, talk about, like, that atmosphere of playing against your rival Friday night underneath, like, the lights.
I mean, yeah. It was just, like, somehow, some way, it always ends up being personal. Like, someone will go at someone on social media or something like that. Like, just leading up to the game. And, like, it was always, like Hoover was, like, you know, the more hard-nosed team, whereas, like, Jackson was kind of, like, the, you know, trying to be, like, flashy or whatever, trying to do their own thing. And I just think that always motivated us to go in there and, you know, take care of business. And so as a starter on varsity or whatever, like, playing varsity football my sophomore, junior, senior year, we beat them 2 out of 3 times. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, all of, like, my best friends, I mean, there's probably, like, 10 or 12 of them, like, they all played football. I was the only one that didn't play.
Yeah.
And just, like, being in the stands, just, like, watching them play.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, just a great, just, like, whole experience. Yeah. Just, like.
It's incredible.
Just, like, you know, being, like, just seeing, like, your friends, like, you know, play the sport that, like, they love. And, you know, especially because, like, we've, you know, my grade and the class above were very good. So just like, you know, those experiences I'll just never forget. And like, you know, I'll like, you know, they'll always like make fun of me. There was actually a picture in the yearbook of me and like three of like my friends, and someone like captioned it like, I think my friend Shane was like, yeah, I love playing football with like my brothers, and I was in the middle.
So like, That's so awesome.
So I was like the honorary like football player.
Yeah, there you go. I love that.
So
you guys had some good teams too, and that's definitely something to Like that, it had to be fun to be a part of that too.
Yeah, and I mean, especially winning like a conference championship.
Oh yeah, it's there's nothing better.
Just, I mean, I'm sure everyone just ran on like the field and celebrated.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, it was great.
Wow. So you've attended several high profile kicking camps that I mentioned earlier, including like the Chris Saylor kicking camp and the kicking coach, which a lot of people have heard about the kicking coach. So it's pretty cool. So how have those experiences shaped you as a kicker, and what are some key takeaways that have helped elevate your game?
So I'll kind of like clear up like how like the kicking world works, I guess, in that regard.
Yeah.
So the biggest camp there is, right, it's called Cole's Kicking. I don't know. I mean, people have seen like different clips and things like that on like Instagram, YouTube, or whatever. They kind of like run it. Like they're like the number one business in that. And then there's Chris Saylor, right? He's kind of so-so. But the one I would go to, like you said, like the kicking coach, he's out of Chicago. He's more like smaller, kind of just like those like places in the Midwest. He's more about like developing you like skill set wise. Like he's very cut and dry. Like, so his story is he immigrated from Serbia, like his like I think sophomore year, and he started punting over at Warren Holland, I think is where he went to high school.
Yeah.
And like he walked on like South Dakota, played there, and they actually played in the NFL for a couple years.
Wow.
And he just focuses on like, okay, like, yes, I'm going to, like, rank you or whatever, but I'm also going to really focus on developing your skills if you want to learn. With the Coles and the Chris Saylor, that is what helps you really get recruited. So going to those camps, going and getting ranked, getting, like, your stars or whatever, that's, like, how you make, like, a name for yourself, I guess. And doing well on Friday nights, obviously. But, like, those opportunities, like, on Friday nights are not guaranteed. Like we'll talk about it later or whatever, like, with my opportunities or whatever. But being able to be recruited, you need to be ranked on their websites. And it was kind of like a pay-to-play type of thing where, like,
really?
The more camps you would go to, like, the better off you were going to get ranked. So I had only gone to one Coles camp and one Chris Saylor camp because I just wanted to see where I stacked up, you know, like, to other people. And it was really interesting, like, to go to those different camps. But, no, the kicking coach, I, you know, have a lot of thanks for him. You know, he developed me into who, like, the kicker that I am.
Wow. So, like, did you have to, like, travel, like, for all of these? Or were they pretty, like, close?
Yeah,
like,
so near Cleveland? I had never done, like, a big, like, ranking camp until I was going into my senior year. Cause I was like, okay, like, I want to get recruited. I want to see how I am compared to everyone else. So what I did was, it was right before COVID, it was a week before. So my aunt lives down in Georgia.
Yeah.
And we had saw, like, okay, like, there's a Chris Saylor camp down in Georgia. So let's go stay with my aunt, go to this camp, see what's what. I did really well. I was, like, one of the top punters, pretty solid with my kicking. Actually, I would have done better with kicking if I didn't. There was, like, a competition at the end. I had gone out, like, a little early. But I was definitely stacking up well with everyone else. So that was, like, the first moment where I was like, okay, like, I can do this. Like this is definitely within my capability. And then COVID hit, and that kind of messed up the whole recruiting thing. And then I did a Coles camp. There was one over in Avon. It was, I think, in June of 2020. Did pretty solid at that. And then like, there was that top kicker camp, which I did. I think it was, like, July of 2020 going into my senior year. So that was, like, the big one where I win. Like, that was, like, I put a lot of effort into that one. So
wow.
Yeah.
So I'm sure just, like, you know, looking back on all of those, you know, camps and all of that, like, I'm sure those were just great experiences. I'm sure you met a lot of people just from everywhere.
Tons of people. Yeah, I mean, like, you look up people now, like, playing college football, it's like, oh my god, like I know that guy. Like, we were like, you know, we met at that camp, or like, I have a couple close buddies who play at some pretty big schools. So like,
wow,
that's cool. Yeah, it is cool.
Crazy.
It is crazy. It's definitely crazy.
So overall, what was the recruitment process like for you, and why did you choose John Carroll?
Sure. Yeah. So kind of like what we were saying, like, you go get ranked or whatever, you get on these people's radars. So one other big thing about the kicking recruiting world is, like, you kind of need to, like, pick your schools that you feel like you can fit into.
Yeah.
And then you go to, like, their camps. Well, COVID hit and all those camps got canceled. So I wanted to go, like, play, like, Ivy League football.
Wow.
That was, like, my, like, big goal. Like, go to, like, a Harvard, like, a UPenn or something. Or go to, like, the Patriot League. So, like, Bucknell, Colgate, Fordham, those schools. And those schools were actually recruiting me a little bit. But then COVID hit, and everyone got to go to their camps, and ties kind of fell off. It's like, I mean, if they don't see you kick, it's like, they can't recruit you, you know? Yeah. So, and then John Carroll came around. One of the coaches had reached out. I was like, okay, whatever, like, that's an option. And then I reached back out because I'm like, okay, like, this is a school that I can be good academically and athletically, and potentially play a little bit. So I just continued, you know, reaching out to them, and they kept reaching out to me, and went on a visit, I think, like September of 2020. So my senior year. I liked it. They offered me whatever, and then I think I ended up committing like December, like January.
Wow.
Like of that year. So yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, did you take any like online visits or like through like Zoom or through like the laptop
with John Carroll?
Just like in like general, because I know like during like my time, like people would send me like virtual like tours,
yeah,
and like of like the facilities. Right. Like I know Mango, who was on the podcast, mm-hmm. he mentioned like he. I'm not sure if he went on one, but like people kind of just had different like stories about it.
100%. Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of different virtual visits. Like the places I was getting recruited by was like Case, Ohio Northern, Walsh University, which it's close to home. And they all had like virtual visits. So yeah, they'd like do or whatever. But like John Carroll like really pushed for us like to get on campus, like check it out. And that's what I think also probably contributed to me coming here too.
Wow. Yeah. So, like, the recruiting style for, like, mm-hmm. you know, defense, sure. offense, but, like, is it essentially, like, the same thing as special teams, or is special teams, like, a little bit different with recruiting?
Yeah.
Like, how does that really work?
So, I'd say it's similar in the fact that, like, I mean, like, you gotta, like, get these kids on a visit, you gotta see, like, their personality, see what they're like, but then, as far as, like, a skill set goes, like, yeah, I mean, I know, like, at, like, D2 and, like, D1 schools, they can, like, work you out, and, like, you kick in front of them or whatever. But, like, at a Division III school, I mean, like, you sending them film, like, I made sure I had, like, videos of me kicking, like, at camps and things like that. So that definitely helped out a little bit. But, yeah. No, I think it's similar for the most part. But the one thing that is, like, a discrepancy, and I've talked about this, like, with other people, is, like, the star rating thing. Being, like, a five-star kicker is not being, like, a five-star running back, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of subjective. Like I said, like the more camps you go to, the better off like your ranking is going to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is a discrepancy there.
Yeah, because I did my like research, and you were ranked, I think, mm-hmm. like pretty like high with stars.
Yeah, I think you? So. I went to one Sailor and one Coles camp, and they both gave me 4.5 stars.
That's right.
So, I mean, like we could sit here and say like what that all means and like what this, that, and the other, but I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it just basically means that like, okay, this guy is not a schmuck. But he's not exactly the best to go play like a Division One,
wow!
Like at a Division One school.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, you know, because when I like looked up like your name and like all mm-hmm. like your stats came out, like it was crazy, like seeing yeah. like the young Yanni.
Oh yeah.
With like all like your stats.
Yeah, on they got and all stuff. The things in there. They write like little like excerpts, like yeah. Hey, Yanni can do good at this, this, and this. Needs to work on this, this, and this. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Funny. No, that's so cool. And plus, like, you know, when you're older, you can show, like, your kids. Like,
right, yeah.
You can be like, yeah, like, look at this. And then, like, pull up, like, all
this. This is actually how sweet I was. Yeah, no.
Dude.
Yeah, that's funny.
That is awesome. So, obviously, you're in your senior year right now at John Carroll. So, throughout your time, was there a specific moment at John Carroll that made you truly feel like you belonged at the college level?
Like, athletically?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, so my freshman year, there was a senior and a senior who were on punt and field goal, and I kicked JV, and I had, like, a really good JV year. Like, it was, like, I mean, call it what you want, like, it's JV or whatever, but, like,
yeah.
I definitely kicked the best that I possibly could have to make a case, like, to get on the field. And if either of those seniors went there, I can say with confidence, like, I'm not trying to like, be, like, cocky or anything, but I definitely yeah. would have played that year. And then, yeah, I would say just, like, that freshman season, it was, like, okay, like, I can definitely hang with these guys. And then also, too, like, going to, like, so, like, in the off season, I would go to, like, the kicking coaches camps, and he'd ask me to come help out, coach, the younger kickers or whatever.
Wow.
And then, like, basically, like, the way it goes is, like, you kick in the morning, punt in the afternoon, but, like, during, like, lunchtime, the staff does, like, a demo. And, like, my kicking friends who would come back and help the camps also, who were at Division I schools, we'd all kick together, and, like, I mean, there wasn't really much of a, like, discrepancy, if that makes
yeah.
sense. Like, maybe, like, a little bit, but, like, not, like, a ton. So I think a combination of that and then, like, my freshman year definitely kind of solidified. It's like, okay, like, I'm good enough to do this. I just need to perform now.
Yeah. So like, you know, did you start playing more, like, your sophomore year? Like,
yeah.
Entering mm-hmm. into, like, the starting lineup?
Stuff? Yeah, so the way that kind of went, so Grant Gagne, who, love him, great teammate, even better person, Hell of a kicker and punter. So he kicked field goals and kicked off my freshman year. Then he ended up punting my sophomore year. But the way that went was is I actually started a punter off in that first game. He was the field goal kicker. We both had, like, average games. And our coach said, okay, like, Yanni, you're doing well in practice with field goals. We're going to put you as the kicker now. And we're going to move Grant to punts because he's doing well practicing punts. So we're basically going to switch you guys around. And we had a bye week in between that week one and week two game. So we just kind of, you know, made that switch, stuck it out, and I kicked that the rest of that year as the place kicker.
Wow. Yeah. And then plus, you know, you've had some great games. I mean, obviously, like, mm-hmm. six PATs, you know, far field goals. I mean, like, 39 yards. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, as like a average human,
yeah.
I don't think I can kick past 15 yards.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Maybe not even five. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We honestly probably have to go test that out.
Yeah, no,
but I mean, still, that's still very, very impressive, and especially getting time on the field as a sophomore. Yeah, yeah. Like that's very good.
And like funny, like you mentioned that. I remember like saying to myself, like, okay, like going in like my sophomore year, like this is the year like you need to get on the field, because if you don't, then like you kind of fall into the weeds a little bit. That's kind of like how it works, at least at like Division III level. And I just kind of, like, made that decision for myself. I was like, okay, like, you need to get on the field. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And thank God it worked out.
Yeah, so, like, I guess, you know, when you were kind of, like, competing for your spot, mm-hmm. did you have to go against, like, a lot of kids? Because I know, like, at the D3 level, there are a lot of kids fighting for, like, one spot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, kicking is interesting, right? Like, at a Division I school, like, they might have, like, six, seven kickers on the roster, but at, like, a D3 school, normally you have, like, one or two, like, at each. But, like, I remember, like, my freshman year, there was six of us. So, yeah, I mean, like, wow. There's only one guy that gets to play for each. So, yeah, I definitely had to compete. And, like, I thought, like, okay, like, going to a D3 school, like, I thought I'd be able to, like, play, if not my freshman year, definitely my sophomore year. Just based on, like, a talent perspective. But, like, all the guys who I was kicking with, I was like, okay, all these guys are, like, capable. Like, I just didn't expect that. Because I think everyone kind of, like, poo-poos D3 or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no, definitely not the case. There's definitely good talent at this level.
So, yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, and then, obviously, you know, coming off that great sophomore, you get a great junior season.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a kicker, how do you mentally prepare for high-pressure situations? Because, obviously, you know, there's so many times where you're put on the line to, you know, hit the game-winning field goal. You're iced. Coaches are calling timeouts from, like, the sideline.
Yeah.
So how do you stay calm, like, you know, nailing long field goals or handling clutch moments in games?
Yeah. So it's a good question. I love this stuff. I love talking about this stuff because it's definitely something I'm really passionate about. So I'll kind of answer this, like, twofold. Like, everything leading up to the kick and everything – or, like, I'll – talk about, like, my routine on the field, like, when I'm in practice, and then, like, when I'm off the field. So, off the field, it's a lot of, like mindfulness training, right? So, you kind of, like, sit, you meditate, but it's not meditating so much to like, relax. Sometimes you do some relaxation techniques, but it's more about, like, mindfulness. So, being in the present moment, not judging any moment that, like, is being presented to you. You just kind of, you know, it is what it is, and you just cope with that, like, in that moment. So, I'll do that, like, once a day, you know what I mean, twice a day, just to kind of sit there 5 minutes, just do some mindfulness breathing techniques. And then, like, as far as, like, on the field goes, at, like, before practices, I'll go, I'll sit, I'll visualize how I want my practice to go, and then I'll go out, do the practice, and, like, I guess, like, before a kick, I'll just, you know, just deep breath in, deep breath out, just clear the mind of everything, just be very present. That's honestly the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Not judging, you know, what happened before, what happens after, just being very in the moment with each opportunity.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, kind of going back to the last podcast, mm-hmm. I had a great episode with Coach Nick.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't seen that yet, please go watch it. Please go listen to it. It was very good. But, I mean, we just talked about, like, that mindfulness, like, mm-hmm. you know, even, like, while you're in the game, before the game, after the game. I mean, it is so important, and I feel like a lot of people don't really, like, realize that mm-hmm. until, like, you know, a coach presents you with it, or you kind of do your own research, or kind of comes up in, like, recent trends.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's like, awesome, because obviously, you know, kicking is all mental,
mm-hmm.
pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because, it really is. You know, I mean, there are so many professional athletes that miss game-winning kicks, and, you know, they go back to the locker room and their phone's blowing up.
Yeah,
with death threats and everything like that. I mean, it's crazy. It but, like, I mean, you know, even being at, like, the D3 level, I'm sure it is a ton of pressure just, you know, to make those kicks, and especially fighting for, like, a spot almost. Because if you miss those kicks, there's always a chance that, okay.
You're on a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, something like that.
So what's, like, your pregame, you know, routine? I think I've asked every interviewee this question. This is, like, my favorite question ever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what do you do, like, before the game?
Sure.
What kind of, like, songs do you listen to get you going?
Yeah, so I guess, like, a typical game day for us is, like, you wake up, you go to chapel or whatever, you do, like, a little mass, and then you go eat as a team, and you kind of hang out. For me, I'll get to the stadium, like, 2 hours before, like, game time, maybe 2.5 hours before, get my body right, do some stretching. I guess, like, music-wise, I don't know, I like to mix it up. It's whatever I'm feeling that day. I don't like to do any one thing. I know that there is one typical genre that I don't like to listen to. It's the things that, like pump up music or anything. That are, like, anything, like, too, like, what do you call it? Like, something that's going to, like, make me, like, amped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of just, like, keep it chill. Like, sometimes I'll do, like, classical music or, like, just, you know, like, chill rap or something like that. Something really, really smooth.
Yeah.
And that kind of – because, like, I'm kind of like a go-go-go kind of person. Like,
yeah.
I'm kind of a rah-rah guy without, like, being in a rah-rah guy position.
Yeah.
So it's definitely hard to, like, just relax, you know, like, in those moments. And then I'll do my stretches or whatever, kind of get the body right, get out there. And then I'll be really methodical about, like, my reps too, because, like, the big thing about, like, kicking, like, between, like, practice and a game is, like, in practice, like, you're hitting, like, 20, 30 balls. And then, like, during a game, like, you're hitting, like, 60, 70, 80 balls, because you got to always stay warmed up. You got to always stay ready.
Yeah.
You hit the ones in game. You got to hit kicks in pregame. You got to hit kicks in with, like, the team in pregame. You need to hit kicks at halftime. You know, it's just – there's a lot. You got to do a lot. You got to stay ready. So, yeah.
Always.
Always.
Do you throw in, like, a little bit of Kanye West?
Yeah, I'll throw, like, some Kanye. Yeah, some 808s and Heartbreaks.
Yeah,
that usually gets me the right mood.
Yeah, Yanni's a big Kanye fan.
I do like Kanye.
When we were doing we were studying for a test, man. He was bumping that Kanye, and, like, I haven't heard those songs in years.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went back later and I saved those songs.
You know, yeah. The old ones, I mean, the old Kanye's obviously better. Like, we can talk about that all day. Yeah, no.
Awesome. So how do you stay focused and confident, especially after, like, a miss kick? Because, you know, it's kind of like the same thing as, you know, airballing, like a few threes. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just kind of down.
Yeah.
You know. So talk about that.
Sure. So kind of like going back to, like, being in the present moment or whatever, like, the biggest thing that I tell myself is, like, okay, that kick does not impact this next kick. They're not related. They're not interconnected by any shape of the imagination. Every kick is different. Every kick deserves the same amount of attention. And then also, too, like, not rushing it, like, in my head. Because, like, I'll visualize, okay, like, if I know, like, there's a third down, like, I'll just visualize, okay, like, I'm going to go out there, take my steps, take a couple deep breaths, go in there and kick it. Whereas, like, sometimes, like, I've rushed the whole routine, like, in my head. It's like, hey, let's go. Let's just kick this. Let's just get it in there. And then we'll go. And that's how you miss. You know what I mean? And I have missed because of it. So no, after, like, you miss a kick, you got to remind yourself, like, everyone misses, no one's perfect, just focus on the next one. That's it.
Yeah.
So,
and plus too, I mean, I'm sure you have just great teammates that are there for you.
That's the other thing too, Marcelo, is, like, I've noticed, like, especially at this level, I don't know how it is at other levels, but a lot of teams don't like their kickers. I don't know if it's, like, a personality thing, but I've just noticed the way, like, people, like, in pregame from, like, other teams and how they, like, treat, like, their kickers. It's kind of like, they're kind of like second, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of just like crap on them. But yeah, I mean, the fact that I have great teammates definitely helps out with that. So
yeah, because I mean, even after, like, missed kicks in, like, the NFL,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they point right to the sideline and everyone's just kind of, like, their heads down.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I get it. Like, you lost, but I mean, like, that's like missing, like, a game winning shot, missing, like,
exactly.
You know, a putt mm-hmm. in the Masters. It's like, you know, like, you're just down. It's like you want, you know, people around you to, like, lift you up,
100%.
Be there for you, and that's what good teammates are for. Because mm-hmm. same time, it's like, okay, well, you're not the one out there
right.
making the kick,
right?
You know,
yeah.
So yeah, that's that. Like, those are always things that just kind of, like, shock me. It's like,
yeah.
You know, if you want to be considered, like, a leader, like, you know, you have to be a team player in all aspects, mm-hmm. whether your team is winning or losing.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so speaking of leaders, you've been recognized as a great leader. Mm-hmm. So how would you describe your leadership style, both on and off the field? Obviously, great football player. And then, obviously, you lead Buller Community Day. You right. know, you're one of, like, the higher-ups for that. You know, for those that don't know, John Carroll does a day of, like, service. It's, like, 3 to 4 hours. You pick a spot, and you kind of give back to the community. So Yanni is very involved with that. So
Yeah, so I'd say on the field, off the field, I would describe my leadership style as, like, very personable. Like, I'm going to come up. I'm going to have a conversation with you. I'm going to get to know you more than service level. Because, you know, everyone deserves to, you know, be heard, be seen. So I think that's, like, one of the number one way I like to lead. And also, too, just, like, by example, like, coming into, like, college football, like, in high school, right, I kicked, but yes, you know, I also played a couple other positions. I was doing the whole practice. I was running around, whatever, showing, like, my effort. Whereas, like, in college, like, okay, like, I need to show my effort other ways, you know what I mean? Like, doing extra with, like, kicking, you know, going hard in the weight room, going hard like in spring ball, just things like that have, I think, helped with like my leadership style, just showing people that I am a hard worker and people will follow. You know what I mean? It's just like that kind of attitude.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wow. Awesome. So how do you continue to push yourself to improve even after all these accomplishments that I, you know, listed throughout the beginning of the episode?
Yeah. I think like, maturing as an athlete too, like your goals kind of change as you get older. And I, like this year especially, it was more about, I don't really care about the accolades anymore. Like, I mean, yeah, like you care about them, but like it's something you worry about like after the season. But I mean, this year especially, I was like, okay, like I have nothing left to prove myself. I just want to help my team win games. So I think that's the best way that I've just helped myself stay motivated is by being able to go out there, help my team win the best way possible on every single opportunity that I'm given. So,
yeah. I mean, you know, especially, you know, starting off like your season with like an injury, mm-hmm. you know, you obviously worked your way back and, you know, you made your first extra point.
Yeah. Of the season last week.
So huge congrats to that. Thank you. And you know, it's hard to come back from injury. Mm-hmm. I mean, me and you kind of talked about this off camera, but you know, when you come back from an injury, like your mind's kind of racing, you're kind of going through a lot. It's a big mental game.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it totally is. And like the nature of the injury too is like, so like I had like it's called an avulsion of like my quad basically. So like the very most top of my quad is like off the bone.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, it's very tedious. I guess like a lot of kickers get it. So now it's like, it is getting better. I'd say I'm like 90%, but yeah, just like you said, breaking that mental barrier to be able to swing 100%. Like it's taking more time than I thought, but I mean, you know, we're getting there.
Yeah. So. And I mean, plus, you know, like to make a comeback like that.
Sure.
I mean, you know, obviously it takes like a lot of patience, especially going through school too.
Oh, totally.
You know, if you're just nonstop. And it's like, so when you were walking, did it kind of hurt? Like when you would walk, or was it more so when you would kick?
Yeah. So like in the very beginning, like when it happened, like, yeah, it definitely hurt like to walk a little bit the first couple of days, but then it kind of like subsided or whatever. But then it would only hurt like during certain like, exercises. But yeah, the number one way like it hurts is like whilst kicking, which is like, I mean, that's the only thing I need to be able to do. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm playing middle linebacker where I'm running around. No, I'm kicking a football and, yeah, if I can't do it 100%, it's like you can't go out there. You know what I mean? So
right. So overall, what key lessons have you learned throughout your journey that have shaped you both as an athlete and as a person?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say that unrelenting hard work can get you on the field, like no matter what. And like in whatever capacity that is, like playing special teams, you know, being a starter, being a backup, you know what I mean? Like it can get you on the field. And then also too, being selfless. I think just the game of football in general has taught me that, you know, being able to sacrifice yourself for someone else to be successful is the number one reason why I was kind of drawn to the sport to begin with. Yeah. And then also too, just, you know, being as humble as possible and just taking every moment, what do you call it? Not taking every moment for granted, I think, is also a big lesson I've learned. So,
wow. Yeah. Those are great lessons right there.
Yeah.
So now we'll get into the quote of the episode. I don't know if I even mentioned this quote to you, but so every podcast we do a quote of the episode. So it's where I'll tell you a quote from, you know, a famous athlete, famous coach, famous player. You'll talk about what it means to you in your life, and then you'll tell me and the audience a quote that you live by every single day.
Sure.
So obviously you're a big Steelers fan.
Yes, I am.
So I put a quote from Mike Tomlin.
Oh, perfect.
So the quote is, "More grounded, more humble, more selfless makes us more opportunistic."
I like that. So I guess what that means to me is the more, like, the way you fall, like the way you hold yourself and the way you can stay consistent in holding yourself and the best possible standard will create opportunities and it'll create moments that you can go in and perform for. So I like that quote a lot.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, especially like, you know, kind of talking about that present moment feel. Mm-hmm. The more you're in the present, you know, the more, I guess, how humble you are, the more aware of the things around you, the more appreciative you are, and the more opportunities that can come from that. Mm-hmm. So when I first read that quote, I was like, yeah, this is a quote that 100% like describes Yanni.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
so that's good. So now, what's one quote that you live by every single day?
Yeah. I don't really have a quote that I live by. I'll give you two tidbits. So there's a mentor of mine that kind of has instilled in me that, like, okay, like, if you're in a big moment, right, there's no moment that's too big. There's no moment that's too small. It's just a moment. It is what it is. And then also, too, kind of like back to, like, to your opportunity quote, like, there's a, I don't, like, there is a quote, I don't know, like, who it's by, but it's like, I'm more thankful for the opportunities than, like, being successful. You know, I just want that opportunity. It's kind of like along those lines, but yeah, no.
Yeah, no, it's true, because a lot of people don't get a whole lot of opportunities in life.
To be able to perform, yeah.
You know, 100%. And also, like, a lot of chances, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even in, like, school, like, there's not really a lot of opportunities to, you know, do well on a test, 100%. Do well on an exam.
Right.
That's why, you know, studying, putting in the hard work, and obviously it's shown because you're a great student as well.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So that'll do it for this podcast episode. Shout out to my man, Yanni.
Appreciate you.
Pleasure to have Yanni on the podcast. It's been a long time coming.
Hell yeah.
But be sure to, you know, subscribe. Be sure to follow. And this will be posted on the FTLC podcast. Sorry, you know, I think over the past 2 weeks, I've posted episodes on Wednesdays instead of Tuesdays. But hey, listen, podcasts are still coming out every single week. And I promised myself that I'd hold myself accountable no matter when they're posted. It's definitely been a little bit harder with school, but, you know, I found a great time balancing it out. And people like Yanni that have joined on this podcast have been very helpful with it. So be sure to follow the Instagram. Be sure to share with a bunch of family and friends. And, you know, very thankful for Yanni. He's a great friend, great leader, and great student, football player. He's just a great guy in general, and I'm very blessed to know him.
Thank you,
so that'll do it for this episode, and we'll see you in the next one. Peace.